talking to Joseph Daugherty, a member of an early pioneer family in Cherry Valley, Washington. Mr. Daugherty, or Joe as you are more commonly called, known by all of us, what can you tell us of the early valley and the history of the Grange? That is, after the railroads came and the Grange had to move. The two buildings, the church and the store uptown and the town site at Duval, they were moved by the railroad. What happened to the Grange Hall?
The Grange Hall was moved at the same time.
What method did they use to move it up there?
They used horses and
a wagon. One of the first ones here?
Oh, no. There were many of the farms in present time were settled at that time. Mr. Allen, Mr. Benham, Mr. Leek, Mr. Lyons, and his father, Lysander Lyons, and Mr. Murdoch, George Clark, and the Ratliff family, and a man named Kalberg and a man named Siegel. They lived on the other side of the river. On this side of the river was George Fraser, and Jim Fraser, and George Fraser, Days, and the Borans, Pinkertons and Borans. Boran was the man that built the first house in the city of Seattle. And his son, William Boren, and Sam Heibel. That was the total families in the valley, as I remember, and Frank Owens, from Novelty to the county line.
Was this a state at that time?
Yes. It was a state in 1889. We came in 1893. It had been a state a few years.
Did you attend school here?
Oh, yes. I started in the first grade and attended to the first year of high school.
And what were the facilities for schooling here at that time?
When we first came, the longest term was about 3 months. And by the time that I had left school, it extended to the full 9 months of school. That was in the two-room schoolhouse down in the valley.
We are in your old home at this time talking. Where did you obtain the building materials to build this home?
Oh, this home was built by a man named James O'Leary, a pioneer of the valley, in 1888, and we didn't move into it until 1899. We lived 6 years before that at the Herman Zylstra place on Cherry Creek.
That is down below the Macaulay Falls, isn't it?
Yes, just below Macaulay Falls.
You mentioned that this building one time was used as an early post office. Could you give some idea of how the mail was handled?
Well, when the mail first was brought to Days, that was just inside the county line, and is now part of the Beaterbus Farm and Zylstra Farm. And then it was it was moved from there to the Wilson Farm. That's the lower Coy place now. And then from there to our place. And it ended at our place at the advent of rural free delivery.
Did you arrive by a riverboat, or what was your means of transportation coming here?
Well, we came from Seattle to Snohomish on a boat named the Mabel, a large boat. And then we transferred at Snohomish to the steamer Echo and came up. The Echo and the Maine, two boats run on the river, one alternate days.
Did you have any connection with the river transportation at that time or here at Cherry Valley?
Not that early, but later years we were bridge tenders at the old drawbridge here at the Grove at the Rooney place.
How did you know that a boat was coming up the river? Did you have any indication?
No, not until we saw it. That would be just when it entered the valley down at the high, what's now called the High Bridge. We could see the smoke from the boat, and it began to whistle for us to open the bridge.
Was this much of a job?
Well, sometimes it got stuck, and we had a hard time to get it open, but most of the time it opened pretty easy.
Could you name any of the river pilots?
Oh, yes. There was Mr. McMillan, Captain McMillan, Captain Pinkerton, and Captain Swift, and Captain...
Could you name any of the river boats, Joe?
Oh, yes. The Echo, the Main, the Monte Cristo, the Northern Light, the Black Prince, and the T.C. Reed, and the Cascade, and the Snohomish. Were in my time, and then before that there were several other boats, but I didn't get acquainted with them.
How far up the river did they go, and was the river deep enough for them during the summer months?
They went as far, almost to Falls City at one time, but in the summertime they couldn't get up at all. They couldn't get over the ripples down the, between Snohomish and the mouth of the Skycomish.
What was their cargo generally?
Well, hay and grain. When we first came here, there were very few cows, very few. And most of the products of the valley were hay and grain and potatoes.
Well, that was on the return trip, but what did they take back with them?
That was going down.
Oh, that was going down, but what did they bring up?
Oh, groceries mostly, and supplies for farms.
Logging?
Supplies for the farms and logging camps, because all the logs, they didn't tow the logs. The logs all went loose down the river for years.
Where did they tie up in the valley?
The boats?
Yes.
They tied up anywhere at every farm.
Did you have the acquaintance of James Duval and the early pioneers?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't say that I was acquainted with James Duval himself, but I saw him many times. He was a tall, slim, oldish man when I saw him, with a very prominent, what you would notice, chin whisker. But I went to school with two of his daughters, Lena and Olive Duval, and I knew his sons, Jim Duval, he had two sons by two different families. One was a partly Indian, and the other was a white man. They were both named Jim Duval.
Didn't Jim Duval log off the present town site of Duval? I mean, that is the first town site?
Oh, yes. He was logging there when we came here, and I never saw him working with those bulls, but I saw the bulls themselves in the pasture that he used to log with. And he quit about the time, shortly after we came here.
Live close to the old Pioneer Cemetery west of your property. Have you any idea who is buried there of the old pioneers?
Oh, I at one time, there was tombstones were there, and I knew the names of almost all of them, Mrs. McKay and Mr. Pinkerton, Mr. and Mrs. Pinkerton, and a man named Lydie, and Mrs. Jim Duval, and Adair's family. And Allen's had one or two buried there, and John Rooney from Novelty had two children buried there. It was well filled up at the time that the cemetery was ended.
Did the coming of the railroad affect the cemetery?
Well, it didn't affect the burial ground, but it took the church buildings and parsonage and Mr. Hicks's store that was on the church property, it took all them. But it didn't interfere, they weren't allowed to interfere in any way with the burial ground.
Did you have any part in the coming of the railroad and working on it?
Well, I fired the steam shovels on both these cuts first on the Great Northern when it put a cut through right in front of our house, and then later I fired a steam shovel on the Milwaukee when they daylighted the cut.
Do you know the reason the Grange was formed in the community and the first meeting or so?
Well, couldn't tell the reason why, but it was just like any other lodge. People came and talked to Grange, a man named Kaufman. And then my mother and six of our family joined the Grange the night it was started.
You attended a good many of the social events, and could you add to Mr. Funk's list of the things you did?
Well, we had socials, and we had what they call a literary society, and that was I always thought it was about one of the big outstanding things of my life. Some of the people there were really artists that sang. Mrs. Elwell, Lula Elwell, and the Lloyd sisters and others that were in the former Mrs. Chess Funk. And they added a lot to the life of the community.
I expect you went to many Pomona meetings, and what was the means of getting there? Could you relate any of the early day means of getting to these Pomona meetings?
Well, I went to several of them. I went to one at Bellevue, and Mr. Leek and I took a team of horses to Woodinville, caught the train there, and went to Mid Lakes and walked from there up to that church on the hillside to one Pomona meeting. And another Pomona meeting, I caught the train in Monroe, walked to Monroe, and caught the train, and went to Seattle and went out to White River Grange. At that time, I was master of the Grange. I was elected master in 1912, and I belonged to Grange for a good many years then, and then I went to work in logging camps, and I got away from it, and I didn't join again until later years.
What age was you master?
I was about 23 years old, and that was something out of ordinary them days, because most all the members of the Grange were old people.
Were they very active in the Snoqualmie Valley Fairs? I remember in 1917 they had Valley Fairs here, and it seemed like at that time the Grange played an active part.
Oh, that was something that they were always booming during the meetings, to have some kind of a fair. And them days, the Grange members were all agricultural people. They were all farmers. Very, very few of them were city dwellers.
Have you any recollections? I know your recollections. I know you have of the old Valley House. It's quite a landmark in the valley, being more than less than halfway between here and the county line.
Yes, in fact, attended bar there sometimes, and I knew all the owners of it, Mr. Crossman and Mr. Wallace, and another man named Mr. Steffen. They run it from the time it was built till it was closed up, but by prohibition.
In that area of the valley, wasn't that an extra good hunting area? I remember seeing that more or less as a swamp there, what is now along the Monroe Duval Road, but wildlife, the game birds were flying till they nearly blackened the sun.
Yes, there was great, plenty of pheasant hunting, duck hunting, and other hunting. I put in a good many years myself hunting in the valley, deer hunting,
bird hunting.
Did the farmers take more interest after the logging was getting scarcer, more farming took over? In regards to the Grange, there was more members weren't there.
Well, the farm members were just about the same. It continued along at quite the same level till town started. Then a few of the townspeople joined it, and they had a larger membership for a while from them. But the logging, people in the logging industry never took any interest, apparently, in it.
What did you do with your farm products? Did you, what means of disposing of them did you have? You didn't ship to Seattle in those days, did you?
In early days, everything was shipped to Seattle. Hay and grain and everything. Everything from our farm, I know, was, and I guess everybody else's. Boats came up the river and took away scow loads of hay, and they went right on into Seattle because that was the big market on account of the number of horses that was used there in city work.
You also sent some of your milk to the condensery in Monroe, didn't you, or some of the farmers did?
Most all of them did, but we never did. We, most of the time during the while we were in the dairy business, we separated and sent our milk to, our cream to markets, first sour cream, then sweet cream to Everett every morning.
In the nearly 60 years you have been acquainted with the grains, what would you suggest for the years ahead?
I wouldn't know what suggestion to make. They work for almost everything, every improvement, and I wouldn't have any particular suggestion because most of the people now, like myself, aren't actively engaged in farming.